CCTA Wake Up Call Radio Show for May 6th. CCTA Wake Up Call Radio Show for May 6th. Welcome, folks at home, whether it's a morning, noon, or evening, we welcome you joining us with the CCTA Wake Up Call Radio Show today. I'm going to again ask the individuals to please just welcome themselves to the show. Go ahead, go for it. And I'm Bob Griswold, by the way.
Mary Griswold.
Christy Frazier.
Alan Harrop.
Glenn Fink.
Well, again, welcome, welcome. So we're going to hit a lot of different topics, and I'm going to turn it over to the chair of the CCTA. Mary, go for it.
My first topic I'm going to bring up, there was an article recently published in PC Magazine called Why Disinformation and Misinformation Are More Dangerous Than Malware. Now, I agree with the title, but when I read the article, I was a little concerned. First of all, one of the main people they interviewed was Yael, and I may be pronouncing that wrong, Roth, the former head of trust and safety at Twitter. Now, if you remember, Twitter squashed the story of Hunter Biden's laptop, blocked the New York Post from posting on Twitter because they were reporting the story, and influenced the 2020 election by doing that. So I have a problem with his neutrality and credibility to begin with. But he goes on and he talks about the dangers. And in terms of disinformation and misinformation, he talks about people taking their medical advice from the internet. Well, that's on the responsibility of the people. It's not up to the internet to censor information. That is my opinion. Now, if Twitter claims to be nothing more than a platform, they have the right to post anything or not post anything that they choose. But when they start editorializing, their role changes. They are no longer an equal opportunity platform, which they had claimed to be. And there's a whole, as I said, the article was in PC Magazine. And I'm just going to read one sentence because I think that sums it up. Roth began his part of the panel discussion by noting that it's natural for knowledge and perceived truths to change over time. And something that is known to be true with absolute certainty one day could be known to be totally false another. I have a problem with that. There are such things as universal truths, and they don't change. If something is said to be true and later turns out to be false, well, then I question whether it was actually true to begin with. But this whole idea of we have to keep disinformation off of the internet, to me, smacks of censorship.
So how do you keep disinformation out of the schools? How do you keep it out of the newspapers?
You don't. You teach people to be critical thinkers and evaluate what they hear.
I think that, you know, more and more of the critical thinkers in this world are being shut down with the information that they have. And I have been kicked off Twitter twice, and I just refused to go back on Twitter. I went along with Donald J. Trump because I was following him. And so I don't have a voice on Twitter anymore. And then I get shadow banned from Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
If I speak my mind about anything.
So, I've never actually been in Facebook jail, but I've been restricted lots of times.
Restriction and shadow ban are the same thing.
Yeah.
And when they note you as a person who says something, they will begin to, you won't get as many likes because they have found that you are a threat.
Yes.
So. You know, zeroing in on Facebook for a second. Now, we've all seen where somebody shares the page that says, if you share this page with so many people, you will get to see more of your friends or whatever else. Is that itself disinformation?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know a whole lot about, you know, I know about the share button, you know, when I want to share something, but I don't know if more people are seeing, I guess more people see it if they're my friends.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know how it works.
Well, trust us, we're from the government, so.
Got it.
But anyway, this article was in PC Magazine, and when I read the title, I thought, oh, good. And then when I started reading what they were saying, this is a backdoor approach to censorship.
And it's disinformation. It's fast, cheap, and easy to do if somebody doesn't agree with what you have to say.
Yeah, you can call it disinformation. Right. I mean, there were 51 people that signed that letter that said that the laptop was Russian disinformation.
Right.
We saw how that turned out.
I think collectively around this table, we can agree to disagree. I think that there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if we have don't really agree on a topic, that's okay. But for these big platforms to censor anybody is just wrong.
And also, I disagree with you, I'm not going to accuse you of disinformation.
Exactly.
If you do disagree, do we disagree based on a Democratic vote where 51% says that it's? I mean, how do we judge disinformation and disagreement?
So that's a really strong question. It's you know, you can run into friends all over the place, and they have their opinions, and then you can speak your opinion, and they may just simply not agree with you.
Let's use a flamethrower. Do we disagree with Fauci?
Well, you know, in the whole issue of being able to speak your mind and the censorship by these platforms neglects the idea that these platforms are increasingly the way that most people get their information. They are the community contact centers, really. And therefore, in my opinion, even though they might be privately owned, because I've had this argument with people, it's privately owned, they can do what they want. I don't agree with that, because they are platforms that are out in the world. They're out in our country. Everybody can listen to them. And in my opinion, they should not be censoring. People should, as Mary said, learn to think critically and to know that everything they hear is not going to be truth. It's up to them to research it, determine what, in their opinion, is truth, and then they can stake their beliefs on that. But to allow these platforms, as we get into this issue about these platforms, they can't be sued, they can block things, and in my opinion, that's a serious mistake, because we have so many children now are relying on social platforms. I read the other day, it was like the average child spends 90 minutes a day on their cell phone, on these platforms. And that's a big influence on our children. And these things...
It's definitely how they get their news, though, Alan.
My
son...
Exactly my point.
Yeah, you know, I ask, you know, my sons, did you hear about so-and-so? And they go... Yeah, I did, Mom. I heard it from a platform they're following, Snapchat, whatever. Some of their friends, Instagram is another one. They like to follow, and then they're quickly in the loop on what is happening in the world.
Now, they may not have all the accurate information, but they're aware of something.
They're aware
now,
of something.
Now, do they want to do any in-depth discovery on that I'm going to say that item or not, that's a whole different story.
I do get into an in-depth conversation with them because I want to know what they're thinking about a certain topic. Mm-hmm. And I want to, you know, give them my input.
But you're not consuming the mainstream media as if it were real.
No, I don't watch that stuff.
but sometime later this month, we're going to do a show with Gen Z. And we're going to talk about where they get their news and that sort of thing. And one of the kids that I have in mind for this show is a liberal. And she has been indoctrinated by the education system. And, you know, she is the result of that. And she is willing to come on the show, and we will be nice to her.
And you know what? Reese is coming. And
yes.
He thought through the answers by saying this is where he gets his information.
Yeah.
Instagram, Snapchat.
Oh, yeah. YouTube. And the danger in that is a lot of these kids are getting their information from TikTok. Now, aside from the fact that TikTok is China-owned, we know that, one of the things that hits me is the difference between TikTok in America and TikTok in China. TikTok in China is educational videos, museums, science projects, etc. TikTok in America is something you don't want your kids watching. It's awful. It's undermining our culture. And, and it's not real news. It's what the Chinese want our kids to think is news. That's not a good thing.
What do you think about the bill, the 686 bill?
We're headed to that in the next segment.
We're going
to
use that as a teaser and come back come back after a few ads. And thank you for joining us on the CCTA Wake Up Call.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to our show, CCTA Wake Up Call, and let's head off to 686.
Bill 686.
The title of the bill is Restricting the Emergence of Security Threats That Risk Information and Communications Technology Act, or the RESTRICT Act.
You know, when I was reading about this, Mary, I was talking to my friend, and I was just floored. Yeah, I don't believe TikTok should be in our country, but does the federal government have the right to shut down or have a bill in such a way that will shut down TikTok, allowing it to shut down a million or more Americans from anything doing anything together? That's not right.
We used to be a free country.
We are a free country.
But another way to look at that, though, is this TikTok, as I understand, is a platform that's under the control of the Communist Party of China.
That's true.
If they are using this to gather information about U.S. citizens in ways that those citizens are not even aware, that could be used for nefarious purposes to undermine our country and weaken us in ways that this is a way of how countries attack each other now. They don't do it necessarily by dropping bombs and so on. It is a lot of this
disinformation.
It's a lot of this data gathering.
Yes.
It's a lot of manipulating of information. And we're playing right into their hands. If we have a platform that they disagree with, what do? They're not going to allow it.
But they don't claim to be free.
No. But we have to play by rules that protect us. We can't be playing by a rule that jeopardizes us.
Okay, but I
makes
have
us
a
vulnerable.
Question. I have a question because I'm not a computer geek at all. How can a platform be used to gather information like that?
Well, one of the things, if anybody just thinks back a couple of years ago, there was a Pokemon thing. Everybody had to go and take pictures of where they were with Pokemon. Okay, now what did that do? That sent to China, and that was on TikTok. That sent to China pictures of every building and the geolocation of every building. China has a 3D image of every building in the United States because people wanted their picture in front of a building. And again, your phone, when it sends a picture, it has the geolocation of you when you took that picture.
So how do you balance that?
Well, I don't know a lot about the bill, so I'll just interject something real quick. To me, what happens is a problem comes up and our government is nefarious. So they say, I'm going to solve this problem. And oh, by the way, I want to do this broader net, just like what happened when 9/11 and we gave up so much
of
our
freedom. The Patriot Act.
So if they wrote a two-sentence bill that says abolish TikTok in the United States, thank you, then we would be okay, given our circumstances that we would assume that that was nefarious and we don't want them here. Mm-hmm. You don't have to throw a broad net out. You just get right to the point.
I think the whole broad net is what's scary to me.
I think we also saw that when we saw the COVID, the reaction to COVID. We're shut down. Oh, let's shut down these stores, those stores, whatever else. But so the overreach is what you're saying.
And what happened during COVID, intentionally or unintentionally, I'm not willing to say which, the shutting down of the small businesses while leaving the box stores open resulted in the biggest transfer of wealth in our country's history. It went from small business owners to big box stores. So that's, I don't know if that was intentional or otherwise, but that was the effect. But getting back to this bill, I just want to bring out two things that are in this bill that really cause concern for me. Under Section 15F2, any information submitted to the government is exempt from FOIA requests. That's questionable at best. And then Section 12, actions are not subject to judicial review. So you're putting power into the hands of the government that the people have no power to question or deal with.
And let's just say what a FOIA is. It's Freedom of Information Act. And we can get to almost any information we would like to get to within a matter of a few days.
We hope.
If that's taken out of our hands, we can't get to that information. And so that is a dangerous place for us to be going.
Yes.
And what's the other concern that you have?
The actions of the government regarding this bill are not subject to judicial review, which means if you have a platform, an American platform, that says things that the government doesn't like, and they shut you down, you can't go to a judge and sue or say, I want to plead my case. You're done.
Can we back up just a couple of years? So January 6th, people went out on January 6th, and there is judicial review. Oh, no, there's no judicial review. We're just going to convict everybody.
And their constitutional rights have been violated, particularly those of a speedy trial and
so
the
is this
thing.
Is this going to happen again?
Yes,
I think it's clear it could. But getting back to the bill, what I read about some of it is that, I don't agree that TikTok should be in the United States of America. I really don't agree that it should be here. We do need to have another platform that Americans can use that might be similar to TikTok. The government is not allowed to have TikTok in it. The military is not allowed to have TikTok in it. However, this can create a problem for 150 million Americans to lose access to education opportunities and to each other, because we do get educated with one another on platforms such as Facebook, such as YouTube.
We do.
Mm-hmm. And Rumble.
We communicate.
Mm-hmm. And because we know a different platform of how to communicate, taking away one platform, I agree, it should not be here. But I'm going to go back to what Glenn has said. Make it one clear swipe, get out of here. And that solves, but having all these other things in the bill is...
It's a shift of additional power to our government.
Yes,
and they're always going to take advantage of something that most Americans agree with, and then they're going to bolt all this other stuff onto it.
They'll expand the simple problem and cover a lot of other things that don't need a solution right now.
Right. And during COVID, when we were shut down, it was supposed to be 2 weeks. You remember that?
Right? Oh, yeah.
And it went on to 2 months, and then it went on to the rest of the year. And our kids never went back to school that year. And then they started open up the schools slowly the following year. It was mayhem.
Maybe not directly related to this, but hopefully, I believe tangentially related, is there is a bill or a case that went before the Supreme Court back 40 years ago, and it was Chevron versus the government agencies, okay? And it was ruled that the agencies could make regulations without law, without the legislature addressing that problem. And fortunately, it looks like within the next year or so, that is going to come before the U.S. Supreme Court again, that agencies shouldn't be making law.
Absolutely.
The legislature, the U.S. legislature, ought to be making the darn laws themselves.
Well, the other thing, Bob, is not only is are the agencies doing it, but under the auspices of the presidency, now these executive orders have gone way beyond their original intent. They are, in fact, legislation. You have one man, Joe Biden, who's coming up and saying, I are going to forgive all the student debt in the United States. That's one of the biggest parts of federal debt is the student loan program. And one president comes up, and then the next one comes in, and he reverses it. I mean, it's total chaos. But that was never the intention. That should be a congressional action, not an executive action. But until we stop these out-of-control executive orders, we're just going to have complete chaos in the government.
And the other part of it is the regulators are not electable. They're not held accountable. The idea of the House of Representatives and the Senate making the laws was they were accountable. Right. And if we didn't like the laws that they were making, we could unelect them.
And in theory, they would be there for a few years and then go back to their hometown where they could get beat up by the individuals
in
their hometown.
I have shared this before. One of my favorite stories. George McGovern, when he left the Senate, it was a hotel or a bed and breakfast in Connecticut, I forget which. And it failed after a couple of years. And he wrote an article for Forbes magazine. You can still find the article on the internet. And essentially what the article said was, if I had understood the impact of the laws that I was signing when I was in Congress, if I'd understood the impact on businessmen, I wouldn't have signed them. But he'd never been in business. He had no idea what he was doing in terms of affecting business. And it light dawned on Marblehead a little bit late, but he did eventually come to that conclusion and wrote the article. It's a great article.
I'll have to look that up. Definitely, I think that Glenn makes a strong point about the federal law can be just restricting TikTok.
Yes.
If law is written just for that one objective, sure, we're all ready to do that. Folks, it's about time to take another break, and we ask you to go and frequent our sponsors, and we ask you, again, tell them that you heard about them on the CCTA Wake Up Call show.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Well, welcome back. We're going to move on to another topic. Alan?
Yes. Thank you, Bob. There is currently a program coming from the federal government, which should always be suspect, about funds for the schools to hire mental health counselors and mental health treatment personnel. And that is something I think that should raise a red flag for us in a lot of reasons. And I think that's something I would like to discuss with the group here on the show, because it does have a lot of ramifications. And in my opinion, it would create some significant burdens on the school system, which in my opinion, they're not able to perform their academic function properly in a lot of cases. Not all cases, but in a lot of cases. And now putting an additional burden on them, to me, it's totally illogical.
Would you mention your background? I want you to continue, but I want you to mention your background.
Yeah, I have a PhD in clinical psychology, and I worked as the director of mental health for the Department of Correction for 30 years. And I also had a private practice dealing with children, adults, and a variety of ways. So I have quite a bit of experience in this area. And I think it's just something that concerns me quite a bit. I think instead of making schools into little mental health clinics, which the danger with that is you're going to greatly increase the likelihood of misidentifying children as having mental disorders, when in a lot of cases it's not mental disorders, it's discipline problems. There was a study by Michigan State University that looked into the number of children that have been identified as ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which didn't even exist until the 1960s. Then it was expanded into the 1980s, and now they estimate that there are 6 million to 10 million children that have been identified as. And they did the study, and they found that a minimum of 1 million of these children were misdiagnosed, did not have a mental disorder. Yet, we also found that 65% of the people diagnosed are assigned or given prescribed medication, Ritalin, Adderall, issues that, those medications, they're finding, have long-term impacts, way beyond even after you stop taking them, all the way into adulthood. And there's the potential of addiction and reliance on these medications. Now, I'm not saying that the disorder does not exist. All I'm saying is that the more mental health focus you put on the schools, the more you're going to have children that are basically undisciplined. They haven't been socialized properly. They come to school, they don't obey the rules. They don't listen. Can't wait their turn. They get up out of their chairs. They don't listen to the teacher. Those kinds of things are going to be diagnosed, and they're going to be put on medication. And that's the wrong direction for us to be going.
You know, it's funny. We were talking with somebody, I'm not going to mention a name, but I'm just going to mention a situation, that talking to somebody about these mental health oddities or whatever various mental health issues, and the person asked the proper question: where does normal fit into that mental health issues thing? In the whole spectrum, there was nothing classified as normal.
So there's nothing normal on the spectrum.
Again, this was in an aside discussion, so I don't have any valid.
I want to make a comment about what Alan said, because you You did mention that there are valid diagnoses of ADD and ADHD. There is a book called Driven to Distraction, written by a Harvard psychiatrist, who suffers from ADD. And it is an amazing book. We have some ADD in our family that is genetic. It goes back about five generations, and I can show you that. And generally, we've dealt with it with sports, because for whatever reason, there's some kind of a connection about physical activity and getting these kids to focus. In one example, we had a grandson with ADD that we put in hockey playing goalie because he had to follow the puck.
All the time.
When he played defense, he'd get bored and he'd just start skating in circles and accomplishing nothing. But we learned that if we put him in goal, he learned to follow the puck and his grades went up. And, you know, that's the way, as I said, as somebody who's dealt with it, that's how we dealt with it.
And that is the thing about when you already have concluded that a high percentage of people have this, quote, disorder, then it's very easy to pigeonhole people into that. Mm-hmm. Here's some of the behaviors that they use to identify hyper ADD. Easily distracted, doesn't pay attention, trouble controlling their behavior, trouble sitting still, problem waiting their turn, procrastination. Now, anybody that's raised children, those are behaviors characteristic of all children. Now, some children, they may be a little worse. Those children may need more discipline and learning self-control. Mm-hmm. If you look at it from the standpoint of self-control, in my opinion, a discipline is a learned behavior. It's a learned skill. Now, some people with certain genetic dispensations or tendencies may have a more difficult time. But that doesn't mean they're not capable. Just like your grandson playing hockey. He obviously was motivated to do what he needed to do to concentration because that was part of his requirement.
And it spilled over. It spilled over.
Right. And the other thing that we don't look at when we look at some of these supposed mental disorders is the fact that there are maybe other contributing factors. For example, diet, you mentioned exercise. We know the federal government since the 1970s has been pushing low-fat diets. That's been their mainstay. Everybody should follow this food pyramid, and it's low-fat this, low-fat that. Now, you don't eat fats, what do you want to be? Carbohydrates, sugar.
Yeah.
What is sugar, excess carbohydrates do to behavior of children? Gets them hyperactive.
Yeah.
So it may very well be that what we're seeing, this increase in hyperactivity over the past 30, 40 years, may very well be related to the diet that we're forcing on kids. The other thing, and I don't know what they're doing in the schools now, but when I went to school, you'd come into class, you'd have a couple of classes, then you go out for recess.
Mm-hmm.
Recess, you go outside for usually 20 minutes, 25 minutes. You'd run around, burn up some energy, you come back, you sit down again. Then you'd have the same thing in the afternoon. And so it was intermingled. You weren't expected to come and sit in a classroom setting for 6 hours. Now, I don't know what they're doing now, but that might be something that could be used instead of filling it with medication.
Well, there's another aspect to it also that we learned through dealing with it. And that was the reverse effect of caffeine. I'll use my middle daughter, who is another poster child for ADD. She's an electrical engineer. She learned how to deal with it, and she was in every sport we could find. But when she went away to college, and the kids were doing all-nighters, and they were eating the chocolate-covered cocoa beans or coffee beans or whatever they were with the high caffeine to keep them awake, she couldn't do that because that put her to sleep. The brain chemistry is totally backwards. Coffee just relaxed her and it allowed her to concentrate. So it's a chemical thing too.
Well, there was 11 grandchildren on the the Fraser side, okay? Mm-hmm. And half of them were on medication. My son comes in, and he is crazy. He's a monkey. And he was young, 3, 4, 5. And they kept saying, you need to put him on drugs. You need to put him on drugs. I said, no, what we need to do is stop coming here. So he can be a monkey at home. You know, I'm not going to be putting my kid on drugs.
Well, I'll just interject to a point you've already made, Alan, and that is the people in the school, the doctors in the school will be biased towards medicating them because they're easier to manage.
Yes.
And so the environment will drive those decisions to a place out of functionality of the school versus what's right for the child.
A teacher does not want kids in her class that are bouncing off the walls. And when they took recess out of the schools, which they have in many schools, they got that negative result because the kids couldn't go out for a half hour, an hour, whatever, right, and run around the school building 2 or 3 times and get all that out and then come back in and sit down.
And additionally, when you said when they went out and they resolved the conflicts with each other.
That's right.
Out there.
That's right.
Out on the playground or whatever else, rather than having a mediator as an adult mediator.
We just don't need additional medical assistance in our schools.
And I think that it's important to look at the, first of all, accept the fact that schools now are underperforming compared to what they were 30, 40 years
yes.
ago.
Yes.
Okay? Educational achievement is down. The question is, let's say, for example, you take over a business and your business isn't doing as well as it was previously. Any rational person would go back and say, well, what were we doing before that was working that we've stopped and we've changed? And this is what the schools need to do. In my opinion, there's a lot of things that they're doing in the school that are contributing to mental stress and behavioral disorders that did not exist before. Number one is class structure. Years ago, when you went into a class, the desks were all in rows. They all faced the front of the room, and they paid attention because they could be seen, and the discipline was strict.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Well, let's continue the conversation, Alan.
Thank you, Bob. I think there's, as I was saying, there's. It's important to go back and look at what was working before, and where we may have gone astray. And I think we've gone astray with how we structure classrooms. Right now, a lot of teachers are using what's called the open classroom method, and that implies that you group students instead of having a traditional classroom where the desks are separated. Every child has his own individual desk. They all face the front of the room. The teacher can observe who's doing what. Now they exist in small little groups. The groups can be four, they can be six, they can be, and there's no way that that teacher can monitor what those children are doing. No way you can do it. And so there's things going on and distractions in that structure. And especially in elementary school. Now, I can see in high school when you're getting into more complex issues and you need to interact, working on projects together, learning teamwork, that makes sense. But in elementary school, in my opinion, we should go back to what worked before. And it involved respect for the teacher and it respect class discipline. There were certain rules you could not violate. For example, you couldn't just get up and walk around the room. You couldn't talk to somebody. You couldn't turn around and talk to one of the other kids in the class. And that was strictly enforced. If you did, you were called out on it. And it has to be that way, in my opinion, if you're going to get the attention of the students. And simple things like that I think we've gone so far astray that it's about time we try doing something different.
The classroom size has also changed quite a bit. There used to be 35 in a classroom, and now it's down to 21. Am I right? Okay, so 21 in a classroom, and they have now a teacher and an assistant.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And there's an awful lot on the teachers as well. So the teachers are having to do additional work, and it's causing the teacher not to be able to have one-on-one time with the children. And then we can go and talk about discipline really quickly. Discipline in our schools is from the lack of parenting, and it really gets down to we have two parents generally in a household who are out working. And if you don't have two parents out working, you have a single parent out working and doing it all themselves. So that's where I see the discipline being part of the problem.
You know, I want to add to the discipline problem that you're talking about is I'm going to add the wonderful world of cell phones. That right now, where we should have a school, let's say a school department policy, no cell phones in the classroom. I mean, you can come into the classroom and put them up on some kind of soundproof thing, and I'll shut it down so if they all ring during that time, whatever else. But they shouldn't be there, because right now, when you talk about discipline, the teacher is the one that has to try to discipline somebody not to use their cell phone. That should be a school department edict.
Well, and I'm going to speak to that, and I agree. There is a policy in the school about the cell phones, okay? And I asked my son throughout the years, so what do you do with your cell phone? He goes, I have to leave it in my book bag. I said, okay, does anybody get into trouble if the cell phone is on? He says, yes, they do get in a lot of trouble if the teacher doesn't like the disruption. Mm. So I'm getting from my kids what is happening. So I don't know if they're unique, but I don't know that we have a lot of cell phone disruption. We took all the discipline in all our schools, and we broke down what of those disciplines was cell phone. It was 2.7. Now, granted, that doesn't mean that there's no cell phone issues in the school. That just means that of the discipline issues in the school, 2.7% are related to the cell phones.
I want to back up a little bit, and Alan, I'm being unfair. I'm asking you a question that you may or may not know. Is it just an incredible coincidence that our school performances have gone down at the same time we've created a federal Department of Education?
Well, it's not a coincidence, and I think it's part of this movement that's been going on in this country since the early 1900s, actually, of introducing social Marxist types of thinking into the school systems through the departments of education and colleges. John Dewey is noted to be the head or the founder or the father of modern education. He was an avowed socialist. He visited Russia. He was against religion in schools. There was a time when you could have prayer in schools. Yes. There was a time in which sex education did not exist in schools. And what has happened, there was a lot of controversy about that. I remember when they started that, introducing that sex education in schools. But they did. And this Federal Department of Instruction, the Federal Department of Education, the problem is they control the money. And so they hold out this money, which they take from the local taxpayer. And that was, you know, and that was started by Jimmy Carter in the Carter administration. Yeah. And it should be done away with. It's not needed. It's not necessary. Every school has their own Department of Education. They should be focusing on the way they want to address education, not be mandated from Washington.
Well, the big thing is, though, federal spends, it's 10% of the school funding is federal. But they seem to drive 90% of the direction that's unproductive. And the whole thing that you were talking about with the students and not working on the main event.
Right.
The federal government's programs guide you away from reading, writing, and arithmetic and push you into these other things that aren't focused on true academic performance. So I agree with you.
And this issue about the children coming to school that have not been properly, let's call it socialized, okay? Mm-hmm. And what I'm talking about by socialized is you listen to authority, you do what you're told, you stop doing something that's interfering, you're not bullying other kids. All right, we'll call that socialization. They come to school and they haven't been socialized. You put them in a classroom, what happens? The ones that aren't socialized start standing out. Mm-hmm. You try to correct them. They don't correct, you take them out. There needs to be a corrective mechanism for these kids that otherwise they disrupt the whole class. Yeah. The ones that cannot function need to be taken away from the ones that are able to function. So we're not destroying the education of the children who are behaving properly. And then they go through that. Hopefully the ones that can get corrected, then they come back in. If they can't, they stay out. You have a special programs. I mean, I'm sorry, that's the way it is. You can't mainstream a child to a class and destroy the rest of the class.
Well, here's part of the problem that's happening now. When I went to grade school, there was no K. Now there's K and there's pre-K. So there's efforts to get our kids sooner, and don't think they don't indoctrinate them as soon as they get a hold of it. So unfortunately, to get past your problem that you just described, that they aren't socialized, the solution is worse than the problem for me. And they get a hold of our kids sooner to try to get them socialized, but they're socializing them in a way that is criminal in many cases.
One thing that I think that explains a lot, if you go back to the chaos of the late 1960s, a lot of those people are now college professors, and they're teaching their chaos to our kids. And it is indoctrination. It is not teaching. And in the process of that, we have lost our critical thinking skills.
That's true. Well, Mary, what are you going to end with today?
Well, I am going to talk about the Back the Blue banquet.
Okay.
On May 16th.
Okay, do we need to end? We still have another 30 seconds to do whatever we want to do. Or do you want to go for your...
This will be held on May 16th at Copper Ridge on the Neuse, which is a beautiful wedding venue. Tickets are $40. We still have some left. If you would like a ticket, the email address is rwg51718@yahoo.com. We will get your tickets to you. We will do everything we can to get you your tickets.
Now, please repeat that email address two or three times.
rwg51718@yahoo.com. And just get to us quickly because they are selling out. It will be a good meal. The speaker is Chris Swiker. If you Google him, it's S-W-E-C-K-E-R, frequent commentator on Fox News, former assistant FBI director of investigations. It should be very interesting.
Now, the Back the Blue banquet, the purpose of the banquet is we're trying to recognize officers from the Craven County, Carteret County, Pamlico County Sheriff's Offices, and also the members of the New Bern and the Havelock Police Departments, and just to honor those men and women that put their time in and put their extra effort. And we want to take time to honor them.
And when is that again? What date?
May 16th. And the doors open at 5:30. Dinner will be at 6:30.
Are tickets available at the door?
No.
Okay.
Good to know. Okay. Thank you, Mary.
Well, appreciate your folks being there, and we're glad that you joined us for this hour. And again, we're on the air on Saturday morning at 6 a.m., Sunday at 11 a.m., Sunday again at 8 p.m., and on 107.1, the talk station, and then it's available on the Internet. And we appreciate your being there. Thank you.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.